Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Overnight America. A couple of things I've learned about Halloween in St. Louis. There's two local things that I think are only good for this area. As in, you have to be a local or at least someone that lives here to fully understand and appreciate. And one of those things we mentioned in the last hour with Shane Hewitt, it's about telling a joke when you're trick-or-treating. That goes way back. And KSTK did a story about why they believe people tell jokes and why St. Louis holds on to that tradition. The other one, I saw a friend of mine, Steve Walden, post this up on social media. And I had to look it up, and I guess it is a thing. Bubblehead Road. Can anyone explain to me Bubblehead Road? Because I found it on Urban Dictionary, and it's an interesting St. Louis folklore story. Here's the number, 436-7900 is the number. It's 800-925-1120. You can call that too, or you can text in as well. But if you have any background or any understanding of Bubblehead Road, if you even know what that means, or if you grew up and you went to high school in St. Louis, I'm sure it's one of those folklore things that you had to have at least acknowledged or talked about with your friends. But I'll tell you what I think it is. But to me, when I read the description of this, it doesn't sound right. The one thing that's really interesting is KSDK did a great write-up, or at least a little story on their newscast about why kids in St. Louis tell jokes. And I learned a lot.
It's a St. Louis thing. Much like gooey butter cake and Emo's pizza, kids...
I love that, St. Louis. What are we known for? Gooey butter cake and Emo's pizza. I know there's a lot of other things, but you could pretty much sum down the food culture of St. Louis with those two things.
Here, don't simply say trick-or-treat for their Halloween night sweets. They gotta work for it. And it's something that out-of-towners are often left asking, why? Let's connect the dots. Do you guys have...
No, it's this hardcore investigative journalism. That's why I keep coming back to the local news, because of things like this.
Have any jokes? It's a phrase you'll hear at many homes on trick-or-treat night. Author of St. Louisms, Dr. John Oldani says it dates back to Irish culture in St. Louis. He says it's hard to pinpoint exactly what year it all started, but it could go back a century. Oldani says in Ireland, during one festival, you would dress up so no one would recognize you, and you would go to houses asking for something to keep an evil entity away. To get it, you had to recite a poem or tell a joke.
Oh.
What you get is a gift for your talents. Then you give it to the entity to keep them away.
Well, that's a way to get things moving, right? So you had to recite a poem or you had to tell a joke. Maybe when my son gets a little bit older, I'll have him memorize the Gettysburg Address or a JFK speech or something like that. In grade school, we always had where we did the speech fair, I forgot what it was called, but we did, there was a term for the national competition that went on, and I just can't think of what it's called. But either way, everyone in the older classes, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, had to memorize a speech. And then we had a big assembly where everyone went to the church because it was a Catholic school. You sit in the pews, and the person would go up there, and they would give their speech, and then they would pick like the top three from each class or something, and then they would have to come back later that night and tell it in front of all the adults, and the winner got whatever. They went to the national competition that was our representative from the school. Now, I was never good at it. I did a JFK speech once. And I also did a long poem one year as well. Those are the only two that I remember. And I'm going to perhaps try to buck the trend And when my kid gets old enough, instead of memorizing a bunch of jokes, maybe I'll get him to memorize a speech. Maybe I'll get him to memorize a Donald J. Trump speech. When he goes when he goes up there, he'll give the most beautiful speech ever. Wouldn't that be something? And then that's when I'll have to explain to all the parents, well, actually, tradition is you would tell a joke or you'd read a poem. I decided to let him go out there and recite a speech. Here's another one. The Urban Dictionary had to look this one up. Bubblehead Road. Someone, a St. Louis native here, started posting this on social media, and he said, I really don't understand what this is. Maybe someone from St. Louis can help me understand it. Here is what I was able to find online about Bubblehead Road. Oh, Carl knows the story. This is perfect timing. Hey, Carl.
Hey.
You know the story?
I do. It's up in North County over, it's actually on the way over towards Jamestown Mall. Now, Jamestown Mall is vacated, and it's kind of scary in itself, but Bubblehead Road was basically the politically incorrect term. Bubbleheads were used to describe people who were autistic. Some of them had what used to be known as water on the brain, but kids that had really large foreheads, but they were institutionalized. There's an old building up that way that used to be a hospital for kids with special needs. And supposedly, in Halloween, at least the story that I know of, I went to McClure up there in North County. The story I know is that supposedly on Halloween night, they would come out, they would sneak out and sit along the road on a old, I won't call it picket fence, I can't think of kind of a corral-looking fence with a long wall run horizontally.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, like a farm fence or something like that.
Yeah, like a farm fence with a wooden tree trunk. They'd sit on the top rung of that, and they would put stuff out in the road where you would hit it and supposedly flatten a tire or kind of go off into a ditch, and then they would attack the car. And the story really got added on to many different times by many different ways. But supposedly eating brains were included.
Whoa!
And these guys would sneak out of this institution to come attack cars and drivers driving through this old two-lane. And it's an old two-lane, old Jamestown Road is kind of an old two-lane road that over hills and around farm fields and curves and dips and all kinds of stuff. And it's a really scary thing. And the thing that we used to do in high school was, we'd jump in the car and take a road trip around Halloween, but we'd turn off our headlights and try to spot them sitting on the and drive this road.
Really? Like you're trying to spot deer.
Yeah, well, I guess that could have started the thing, as if somebody hit a deer once. But I don't know where it came from, but I do know that was the story. The bubbleheads were mentally challenged or autistic kids.
Yeah, well, Carl, when did you first hear about this? How old do you think you were?
Oh, I was in junior high. But I had brothers in high school too. But it was kind of one of those things that everybody kind of passed down to families, kids to kids, to try to scare the kids. And like I say, the older brother would drive down the road and suddenly turn off the headlights, and they'd try to get scare your little brothers in the back seat as they were driving you around and stuff. And
wow. That's something else. So this folklore has been, many generations have shared this before.
I learned about it back in the late 70s. Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that something? Well, it's a thing. Apparently, it's just a regional thing. A lot of people seem to know about it. If you grew up in this area, it seems like at least still people talk about it. And,
right.
It's close to this Urban Dictionary put a post in there about it. They said if you were to go up into this area now, they still have a lot of no trespassing signs. I guess it still gets a lot of sightseers. And the people that live in that area are just sick and tired of the sightseers coming out there and, going out there and causing problems.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old, campfire story where the guy with a hook had come after
me. Campfire story.
Yeah, the lover's lane, the hook on the guy, they heard something knocking on the window, and the guy got scared and drove off.
Yeah.
And later they found the guy's hook hanging on the door handle of the car.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, urban legend that you use to try to scare things. We also used to have one called a, what was she called? Down at one of the scout camps, they had a, the whole story was that the mother was looking for her sons who got lost in the cave, and it would keep the, she was claustrophobic, so she wouldn't go into the tents. So you tell the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts this story when they're young. After dark, they would go into their tents and they wouldn't come out because they're scared of old lady Beaumont coming out to get her. Died in the cave, supposedly.
Beaumont. Yeah, I remember I used to do the scouting, the snipe hunts, and all kinds of fun things that you get the kids to do. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Carl, thank you for explaining that to me. I learned a little bit more about St. Louis folklore.
So you're going to tell us what the Urban Dictionary said it was?
Yeah, I can read it real quick. It said a secluded street in unincorporated North St. Louis County. It says urban legend states something to the effect that years ago people settled near the end of the road. Through years of inbreeding, the descendants and original settlers developed water on the brain, which caused their heads to be oversized, hence the term. It says relatively famous urban legend with many residents convinced there's some truth behind it. The road has several no trespassing signs, which kind of gives some credence to it, like the, as in, you know, leave these people alone. It says mainly it was just a fun place to take women down there and tease them. It says one of the creepiest places he's ever been. That's the definition of Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, it's pretty darn close. And like I say, that we used to drive through there on the way to Jamestown Mall, and that's how you could get your little brother and your little sister and a carload of kids, and the older kids would tell the story as they're heading that way, and then turn out the headlights, and we would look for the bubbleheads along the road to avoid them and stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, Carl, I'm so glad you called in. Thanks for giving me a little understanding and learning a little bit more of St. Louis.
All right.
All right, have a good night. Oh, that's awesome. Way to go, Carl. That's great. Now I learned something new. When I was gone last week, apparently there was a office Halloween costume party, and I missed out on that. Kevin Kleen did a great whole nother story on it. We'll talk about it on Overnight America, KMOX. Good old St. Louis Halloween traditions. Mike calling in from St. Louis. Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Hello. Nothing. You guys were commenting about that Beaumont person. Her name was Beaumont Betty.
Beaumont Betty. Okay.
Yeah. And there's a couple different lures. I've been a scout leader here for a long time. There's been a couple different lures. One is she killed her kid and then she's looking to replace him. You know, there's been two or three different myths going around, but, her name was Beaumont Betty, and it's a good way to keep the kids in the tent.
Was it very effective, you're saying?
Yes, yes, especially for the younger ones.
Scares me, too.
By the time they get old enough to figure their whys on you, they know better.
We need to get some sort of urban legend to keep people in St. Louis in their homes after midnight so they don't come out, because all the bad things happen after
midnight.
Idea. Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Well, that's a good one. Beaumont Betty. Learn another urban legend here in St. Louis. Wow. Kevin Kleen was here last week to report on the Halloween costume contest, which I missed. Would I have dressed up for this contest? No, I would not have. Do I like the idea of dressing up for Halloween as an adult? No. But if we were to do like a family deal, let's say my son and I were to do some sort of costume together, I'd be all for it. But I'm not just someone that shows up and dresses up for Halloween. But a lot of people here are that type of people. In fact, I'm not even the type of person that would buy new shoes when you need shoes. So why would I go out and pay money for a costume, honestly? So here's Kevin Killeen's whole nother story.
They had a Halloween costume contest at the office, and quite a few people sprinkled throughout the five radio stations here showed up with no costume. Paul Cook of Y98 just wore his regular street clothes.
I think we're looking for distraction at work more than ever because we do that in our lives as well. And there's always somebody, some well-meaning person putting together a happy, fun party. I ask, though, is this work or is this friend time?
Well, that'll put you in solid with management.
KEZK's Van Lorenz arrived in his usual civilian clothes.
I don't like to dress up for Halloween or office parties. because I still view it as a kid's holiday. You know, now I know the kids have grown up and they've brought Halloween with them, but I like the days when the Halloween decorations were more innocent than they are now.
How are they now?
I was walking Kevin the Greyhound today in my neighborhood, and one yard had three body bags on it, bloody body bags with entrails hanging out of them.
So this has gone too macabre.
Too macabre. That's a good word, yeah. Way too macabre.
Y98's Jill Devine dressed up as nothing.
I wouldn't say a thrifty, conscious mother is nothing, Kevin. That's what I am. I have my daughter's bow. She's
That's not going to win the contest.
No.
Where are the fangs and the claws?
But people say...
Some people have butterfly wings out there in the IT department.
Well, I don't have money because, again, I have kids.
KMOX's Carol Daniel was sitting at her desk preparing a newscast as if it were just another day.
I have on a blazer and black pants and boots.
What do you think about everybody dressing up to look like, you know, some clever Halloween character?
I'm in the 50% who of adults who don't really even like Halloween, so we haven't had trick-or-treaters in 10 years. I don't like horror shows. I don't like horror movies. I don't like haunted houses.
How about Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
I love candy.
It seems the best office Halloween costumes come from the quiet ones, the behind-the-scenes people, rather than the on-air. There was a marketing woman a few years back who came as Tippi Hedren from the movie The Birds, with little stuffed birds attacking her. Nothing that exciting ever happened in marketing. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
If nothing that exciting ever happened in marketing, maybe you're doing marketing wrong, because that there's some exciting things that could happen there. Kevin, maybe it makes me feel good that I am not alone when it comes to ignoring Halloween as an adult. It's only fun when your kids are involved, and that's it. And I really don't go to the horror movies. I don't like scary movies, things like that, haunted houses, none of that. I just like the enjoyment that my son goes around getting candy. It's like you just find things to do. When your kid's that young, it's just fun to do things like that. Something different, getting out of the house and doing something. I think I enjoy that more than anything else. There was one quick story at KMOX.com about Kmart in Australia, who had a special Halloween costume on the shelves that was not a good Halloween costume. The outfit was labeled bride costume. It was for children 4 years old or older, maybe up to six or seven or whatever it is. And it's exactly what you think a bride costume would look like. Well, some mothers saw the outfit beyond inappropriate, quote unquote, and they got Kmart to take it off the shelves, mostly because they say millions of children each year, girls as young as six, are sold for, you know, sex trafficking, child slavery. There's pedophilia in the world. Child brides are a thing. I mean, you think about some of these really terrible areas that do some pretty terrible things when it comes to children. Maybe that's not the best type of costume to use that would try, even though it's not meant for, you know, any kind of social justice stance, or it's not meant for any political or whatever. It's just you could have done your research and realized that there could have been some issues here. Let me just say this. I know I work in radio and I love my job. If there was like a six-figure job out there, you just needed someone to give your company common sense direction, I would work for Kmart. You know, you can pay me six figures. And I just tell you, this is a bad idea. Boom. Let me collect my paycheck. You don't need, you just need one person in the company that could maybe say, this isn't the best thing to put out on your shelves. You need someone like that. Okay? I could be that person. Or they can just listen to this radio program and get the advice for free. Up next, I played this earlier, but I didn't get to play the full interview. I think I'm going to do that now. I have a friend in town who programs two Christian radio stations, and I wanted to get his take on the Kanye West Christian album called Jesus is King. And he's got a trained ear for this type of thing. I was very fascinated to hear his opinion. We're going to talk about that next. If you don't know about it, Kanye West is now a full-blown Christian. He's said, you know, I turn away and repent from all of this, from my former way of living and everything moving forward, the straight line Christian life. Well, some people are skeptical. Okay. He just released his first album. We played some music in the first hour. I wanted to talk to someone that's in that world, someone that lives and breathes that type of music, to get his take on it. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Joining us now is the program director for Joy FM and Boost Radio here in St. Louis, Missouri, Mike Couchman. Thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
How many Joy FM stickers do you have on your car?
I'm down to zero now. Whoa. Because I was afraid that my driving would represent the station poorly.
All right, so you program so there's two actual radio stations. Both of them have Christian content on it, music, and they kind of vary in different ways. My wife's a big fan of Joy FM. She listens to Joy FM more than she listens to me. The only time she actually listens to this program is when she reads the little notes and she sees Ryan talks about his wife, and then she'll listen to it. Well, I wanted to talk to you about the big news that happened over the weekend in Christian music, and a lot of people are trying to get their footing around Kanye West's new album that came out called Jesus is King. And had you had a chance to listen to it yet?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've been listening to it all weekend. I listened to it probably about three times on Friday and at least twice as many more times since Friday.
As someone that listens to a ton of Christian music, what are your takeaways of this Kanye West album?
Sure. So at first I was listening from with your radio ear, are there songs on here that we need to be aware of that we should consider playing? And partially hoping so, partially hoping not. and just wondering, you know, because Kanye is so infamous for things that he has said and done over the years. So like, what version of Kanye are we going to get on here? And I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, it's from an artistic point of view and from a lyrical standpoint, it's really a great piece of work.
Wow. Okay. And I've seen people online that are very big Kanye West fans, and they say this is some of his best work that he's ever put out there. I don't really know a lot of Kanye's music. I understand he's very popular. I've heard some of his most popular songs, but I don't know really a lot about the in-depth catalog of his. But I really started to pay attention after he went through this transformation over the past year, and you saw him change as a person. You see him show up in the White House, and you see him talking about, you know, people that are always trying to push messages onto him, and he's trying to reject these worldly messages. And you think, this is kind of interesting to see this side of a major personality, one of the biggest musical artists, maybe of this generation, but certainly of currently right now. And then he goes and says, well, I'm going to reject everything that is of this world, and I'm going to start putting out gospel music from here on forth. Everyone wanted to hear what the music sounded like, and it finally came out. And I started to listen to some of the music, and I was really, like, before I pushed play, I don't know what it was like for you, but before I pushed play on it, I thought, I really don't know what I'm about to get. Like, I have no idea. It was a total mystery. And then when I played it, I was pleasantly surprised, not only by the lyrics, but the way it sounded. I played it for my wife, who listens to Joy FM and a lot of Christian music. She said she liked it. She was surprised as well. And It really took me by surprise. I think that's the best way to put it. And I really don't know what the long term will be for a Kanye West, but at least this one album, it's a step in the right direction for him. How about that?
Yeah, I really felt the exact same way.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite songs on that album? Is there any one that stood out?
Sure. So I was the first listening through my radio ear. Can we find songs for the radio? And then when nothing obvious popped out, then I was listening the second time around to see what I missed. Then the third time around, I was listening for enjoyment. And track two, which is Selah. Does anyone listen by tracks anymore? Because we all listen online. But the song Selah was the first one that jumped out at me. I just the overall ambience of that song, how clear the message was in that song, that made it one of my favorites. And then the song that he has with Fred Hammond, which I want to say is a little bit later in the project, where he talks about the people that are going to judge him are going to be his fellow Christians, and just kind of how we work through that. Was a pretty strong message that I hope people who are skeptical or inclined to judge, I hope they take that song to heart.
That's fascinating, because you mentioned at some point you were hoping to find something that you would like to play on the radio and hoping not. Is that why? Yes. Because you felt like some people would listen to this and be very skeptical. You'd be getting a lot of messages from listeners saying, how could you play a Kanye West on your radio station?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got an opinion all over the spectrum. So the concern was, if there's something on here that just screams, you must play this, how do we answer, you know, in a God-honoring way? And truthfully, this is how we came to our decision. So, you know, Kanye actually, probably without meaning to, helped answer some of those questions just in the lyrics of the songs on this project.
Are you going to play any of the songs on one of your stations?
You know, we actually will on Boost, which is our hip-hop leading station, so it makes a lot of sense there. For Joy FM, just cohesively, sonically, it's not really the style that Joy FM listeners come to us for. It'd be like asking a country station to play Metallica or something, right? They're just, from a audio point of view, there's just nothing that matches what most of the audience wants from us. But Boost really seems like it's going to gel really well.
Wow. How about that? So this came out on a Friday, which is kind of weird. You don't see a lot of new music. Was it Friday this came out? I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you start to critique music like this, you mentioned one of the things, at least for me, is that you got to put, to me, I put my guard up. I think, okay, this is someone that definitely is a very worldly artist. I'm very skeptical too. Like when I moved to St. Louis a couple of years ago, we started visiting churches. You go to some of these churches and you start to get a feel for the way that they worship, and then you have to start to discern a few things about what they're doing, even though you don't really know per se, but you can kind of see the way that they do certain things inside their service, worship service or whatnot. Are they really glorifying God, or are they mostly doing it to try to get people through the door? And I kind of had that same type of skepticism for Kanye. I thought, is he doing this? What's the motives here, knowing that his complete background? Because you can go back and just look at his album art from like his last two albums, and you look at that and say, what in the world? You know, like pretty graphic, sexual natures, a lot of songs with swear words, things like that. So you got to be very skeptical, or not, maybe skeptical is not the right word, but you have to be very protective, because if you're going to listen to these type of songs and you're going to try to take the messages and look at the way that he's saying it, you have to be very protective of the things that you listen to. So I'm assuming that you had your guard up too for a lot of it.
Yeah, I did not on a personal level, but I did for those in my audience who are in our audience who would be skeptical, and had a lot of conversations about this with people that work at similar kinds of radio stations over the weekend, and talked to my boss about it this afternoon as well. And I kind of landed on the, is it okay if I share a Bible verse?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a verse in Philippians chapter 1, 18, and it kind of just cuts through all of those things that, even if all of our worst assumptions are true, that it is some kind of weird gimmick, or his meds aren't working, or he's gone off his meds, or whatever, the sentence is this: what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Mm-hmm. And so, that kind of just speaks to the heart of the matter. And this may be the first and last God-honoring thing Kanye ever does, or it could be the first of a bunch of amazing projects. We'll never know. Mm-hmm. But in this situation right here and right now, Jesus is King is all that anyone is talking about. And every time they talk about Kanye, they get redirected to talk about Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because you can look at it in your own home and say, I have the ability to control what comes into my home, the messages that are in my home. You know, you as a parent, as a father, you have the obligation to protect your family, and you don't want to have outside influences encroach in and, you know, maybe pollute the waters, per se. But then you look at, too, the trends that happen inside some of the churches. And I know that everyone kind of has, like, different feelings. I'll just kind of tell you where I'm at. But I get very leery when they use some of these, like, you know, secular songs inside churches that it may sound kind of a nice to sing inside of a church, but it's not necessarily biblical. So I worry about, like, you know, people, like, they play U2 and some of these old rock bands and things, and then they try to take alternate meanings to them to make them into worship songs. Or, you know, sometimes you see churches too, they want to adapt to the trends, so they'll start playing Kanye. And the whole thing for Kanye is he goes around to churches, he'll sing this, he'll live perform these things, and he'll get the crowd all pumped up and whatnot. This is where I get a little bit, this is where I keep a real watchful eye on it, because I'm worried that sure, he could put out something that has a good message and the lyrics are good. But at the same time, is this going to turn into a trend? And then through the power and influence that he may have, the trend goes sideways. And then all of a sudden, there's a lot of people that have been led astray, but they like it so much that they don't know they're astray. And you see this with other trends that happen in churches. So I feel like for the greater, even though it's not my obligation to care for the greater good of what goes on in churches, because I'm more concerned with, you know, my family and my immediate church and, you know, the people that are around me, I still look at that, and this is where I keep my guard up. I look at sometimes the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
I see that in the Christian music. This has to be a pretty controversial thing right now for you guys when you talk to the other people.
You know, it's not as controversial as I thought it would be. Everyone has landed almost exactly where we are at our outlets. So basically, wow, this is really cool. If it's genuine, if not, God can still use it. And it just comes back to, for most stations, most of the Christian stations around the country are more like Joy FM in that, where they play a lot of soft pop and worship music. And so something that comes out of a hip hop or gospel background just sonically doesn't match what the station is all about. So, because it's just been kind of disappointment, like, boy, I wish that I could translate this into what we do, but you never know what the future holds.
So you program Joy FM and Boost Radio. When are you going to start playing it on Boost Radio?
Literally right when you called me, I was putting the song into our system.
Oh,
so,
right. Wow.
You know, it could be as soon as in the next 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh, how about that? You'd be playing it tonight. All right. Mike Couchman, you're the program director for Joy FM and Boost Radio here, the Christian radio stations in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for coming on and discussing the new Kanye West with us here on Camo X.
Sure thing. Anytime.
And he joins us on the Quiver River Electric Camo X guest line. You want to hear a sample of that, maybe I'll play that on the other side of the break on Overnight America. Oh, there it is. There it is. I don't know why Kanye even tries when songs like Monster Mash exist. How is he ever going to make anything better than this? Why should any artist try?
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Well, there it is.
From my laboratory.
Find yourself doing the monster mash. You know it's getting close to Halloween. Unless you're producer Ben, then if you're doing the Monster Mash, you know it's getting close to, I don't know, name any holiday. I mean, is there a holiday this song doesn't work with?
It was a graveyard
smash.
Good old Monster Mash. Welcome back to Overnight America. It was fun to have the last week off. I have some more vacation time planned between here and the end of the year, and I got to be truthful. I am enjoying the time I have off, so it's kind of weird. This week is a weird one. I was asked to fill in on our sister station. So in about 3 hours, I'm going to be going down the hallway and doing the morning show for 97.1. And we're getting close to 2 o'clock here in St. Louis, Missouri. So it's just, I brought in a little bit to eat in between the shows. Stopped at Lion's Choice. Going to have that, prepare, and go do the show down the hall, which is pretty neat, which means I get a day off this week, well, to make up for doing the morning show, which means I'm going to take Thursday off. So we're going to have a special guest hosted on Thursday. Also, I should mention that I want to thank all the guest hosts over the past week. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen at KMOX.com/ONA. I thought they did an excellent job. And it was really cool to go back and listen and monitor and hear some of the different things people were doing. It was really nice of them to come in and do that. So I wanted to thank any of them who may not be listening right now because it's almost 2 a.m. and you're a very special type of person if you're up this late listening at 2 a.m. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Well, I think that about does it for us here tonight. I eat a little bit of overnight snack here and get ready for the other morning show, which will be fun. First time I've ever tried that. I do look forward to talking about it on Monday night, so I'll be back again this time tomorrow. And if you get a little bit bored and you want to listen to the podcast, just go subscribe. If you really want to help the show, there's a really simple way you can do it. If you have a smartphone, you should pick it up now and open up your podcasting app. There is one already into your smartphone. They all come with a podcasting app, or you can download the radio.com app and find it on there as well. It's a free app for you to listen to all the great radio stations. And look for Overnight America. Just do a search for Overnight America. My face will pop up. This is how you help the show. You hit the subscribe button, or even better, you leave a review and comment saying you like the show. It helps people discover Overnight America that way. Okay? Leave a nice review. Well, take care. We'll be back again tomorrow night. Enjoy the rest of the night. Stay warm. We'll see you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.